Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. In many cultures, there are customs about the incident of having an extra guest arrive at an unplanned moment. One can never know if an invited guest invites a friend without informing the host, or perhaps more realistic, a friend or relative who comes from a distance place unannounced at the time of the dinner, and you want to show the expected arrival of close friends or family that they are welcome to for a meal. We have such an impromptu invitation to a guest for dinner in Luke 24. And so I want to speak about the lessons learned on the road to Emmaus. And my first point is, Christ revealed himself in the scriptures. Here we have an appearance of Jesus Christ where the two disciples who would have ordinarily recognized him, but miraculously, their eyes were prevented from seeing him. It's as if God had put a veil over their eyes. Luke stressed the unexpected nature of this appearance by the word behold in Luke 24:13. These two disciples were traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Emmaus is a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. One man is mentioned by name, Cleopas, and the village is mentioned by name, Emmaus. In stating this information, Luke is building a case from eyewitness accounts and verifying the truthfulness of this encounter. It was seen by Cleopas on the way to Emmaus. This is not once upon a time, as if it's some fairy tale just to make people feel good. No, Jesus was truly risen, and he was witnessed by these two people. While Cleopas and his unnamed friend are conversing as they walked, they were talking with each other about the events of the last couple of days regarding the suffering and death of Jesus. And suddenly, Jesus joins them. As he does, he cuts in on their conversation. I walk often in the mornings along the trolley trail at Edmondson Avenue going toward Oella Avenue. And I've noticed that when I am passing people the opposite way, some people keep talking at their same volume, and other times people kind of lower their volume. They want privacy. They don't know me. But Jesus joins them and in essence says, "What are you talking about?" The text in Luke 24:17, halfway through the verse, says, "And they stood still, looking sad." One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which had happened here in these days?" Jesus is playing dumb, and he acts like he's totally ignorant of what is going on in Jerusalem. Then Cleopas informs him of Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people. This is the opening scene which sets the stage of these two disciples' sorrows over Christ's death and their misunderstanding of his work here on earth. Before the dialogue of Christ with these two people, Luke 24:16 says their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. As I have already alluded to, Christ intentionally prevents them from recognizing him in order to expose their doubting thoughts and then enlighten them by means of the Old Testament scriptures. We hear of the two disciples not properly understanding the nature of Messiah's work in these words in Luke 24:20 and 21, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. The disciples' hope for redemption was still resting on a misunderstanding of the Messiah as a political savior or deliverer. With Christ's death, this earthly hope had been crushed. They had already heard of the woman's report of the angelic vision, in which it was announced by the angel of the Lord that the Lord had risen. At this point, it is apparent that these two disciples had followed the lead of the other 11 disciples in that they did not accept the women's testimony. They thought they were dreaming and that they would not put any stock in the women's account. What they did not recognize is that the one and only true Messiah would suffer first and then enter in his glory, the heavenly glory of God the Father. The suffering and glory of Messiah was foretold by the law and the prophets. It is at this point that Jesus chides these two disciples in Luke 24:25 for being slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Our Lord then expounds Moses and all the prophets, explaining to them concerning himself in all the scriptures. And I, for one, I think as well as you, would have loved to be a fly on the wall and hear that biblical exposition by our Lord. Do you not know this as it's written, and this as it's written, and this? Lord knows, and he only knows how many passages he went over. But in one sentence, this theme of Scripture is fulfilled in the life of Christ, and that is God's plan to save his people through the person and work of Jesus, the Christ, and the Messiah. Our Lord Jesus revealed this theme of suffering and then the glory of Messiah through his written word in the Hebrew Scriptures. So Christ revealed himself in the Scriptures. That brings me to my second point, and that is Christ revealed himself in the breaking of bread. Cleopas and his companions had come to the place where they were staying, and Jesus acted as if he was going to be walking further. But these two disciples urged him to come and stay with them because it was getting toward evening and the day was nearly over. The Jewish calculation of day and time is evening and then morning. And so daytime was considered from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and evening was from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. For them to say it is getting toward evening and the day is nearly over, perhaps it was something like 5:30 or 5:45. Even though they did not have watches or clocks like us, they could observe that the sunset was approaching, and they were concerned how much longer Jesus would be traveling. So their comment to this stranger was, please join us, not only for supper, but stay with us through the evening and sleep here. It was a simple expression of hospitality and their desire to be concerned about this man's well-being and safety. Accordingly, they invite him into their house to stay with them for the time being. The word in Luke 24:29 says that they urged Jesus to stay with them, and that is a strong word. They insisted he stay with them. They would not accept no for an answer. You must stay with us. It was at this supper that Jesus revealed himself further to these two disciples. Luke 24:30-32 says this, when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Then they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us. It was during this evening meal that a role reversal happened. The guest who was supposed to be receiving the food becomes the host, and he's the one who takes charge and takes bread and broke it and began giving it to them. He takes the bread, breaks it, and blesses it, and gives it to them. He does this action in the same manner on the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, as he broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." It was at that moment that their eyes were opened and they recognized Jesus for who he was. The veil was taken away, and supernaturally they recognized him. But at the same moment they recognized him, he vanished from them. This is almost kind of like Star Trek. Now you see Jesus, and phew, now you don't. It goes beyond our understanding, but it's real nonetheless. In the aftermath of our Lord's abrupt departure from them, they came to the recognition that their hearts were burning within them, not only as he revealed the scriptures to them, but as he broke the bread. And they journeyed back to Jerusalem, even though it was late and dark, to the report of what had happened to them to the apostles. And once they met with the apostles, Simon Peter had already seen the Christ Jesus. These two witnesses added to the testimony that Christ was risen, and that they had recognized Jesus as he broke the bread. Christ in his mercy had revealed himself and his true identity in the scripture and in the breaking of bread. It is in the worship services of both the ancient church and every church since then that Christ shines his divine glory through his written word and in the service of Holy Communion. As the church, the faithful are strengthened as we come to know the presence of the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by his death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. Christ's resurrection is his victory and ours if we're united to him by faith. Our victory over death comes through his victory over death. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us serve the risen Christ and proclaim his saving resurrection and spread the message of his saving mercy. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening is at hand and the day is past. Be our companion in the way, kindle our hearts and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and the breaking of bread. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. Our worship service continues on page 93 of the Book of